The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. We do that every week by sharing the stories and advice from those rocking it on the other side. Today, we have on one of my first friends in the industry, Ken Bates. Ken is a copywriter at DDB Chicago. Just under 2 years in the role, he recently broke into advertising and found his rhythm. He sold the idea beer drops for Miller Lite, which he explains in this episode. It's fantastic. There are many things I admire about Ken, but one is that he is always learning. He takes notes of his favorite ads. He takes notes of who made those ads, and he is a huge fan of Breaking and Entering, and just about every other advertising podcast he can get his ears on. A lot of times when you all ask me to review portfolios, I will send them to Ken. And I want to share a note I received one day before recording Ken's interview from one of our listeners who spoke with him. Hey, Gino. So long story short, I've been talking with Ken. He's a great guy. I put his name down as a reference when applying for a junior copywriter gig at DDB. He helped me through the interview process and put in a few good words. I recently got an offer, and without your podcast and help connecting with Ken, I don't think any of this would have happened. So thank you so much. I share this because Ken and I have been talking for a long time, and we both share a passion for helping you both break in and thrive in advertising. And we love these stories and want to ensure we can keep on supporting you. Now, you can support Breaking and Entering. Please give us a follow on IG at Breaking and Entering Pod. And on with the show. I know you're going to like this one. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. All right. Ken Bates, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Gino. How are you?
Good. Good catching up with you before this call. We've known each other for a while now, since really I graduated college and you were at Portfolio School in Chicago. So I'm glad to have you on the show. You are like my sidekick. You know, every time there's a good episode, seldom there's a really, really good episode, you'll let me know. I got to do a better job sometimes. When I know I haven't heard from you, I need to step it up.
It might just be that I missed that week. Most of the time you have a very good episode, I think, even when it's like a, you know, if it's a media person, I'm like, no, there's something to learn there always, right?
Yeah. I'm sure you listed all the media episodes. I mean, we probably have like four on this whole show. So, but I'm pumped to talk with you, because you've been listening to this show. We've been close for a while now. I've seen your career kind of grow. You've seen mine kind of grow. So it's really kind of like a checkpoint for both of us. But you are currently a copywriter at DDB in Chicago. So we're going to talk about that. But what does that mean to you? What does it mean to be a copywriter at DDB Chicago?
Yeah, when I started, it was mostly just like the beers, right? Miller Lite and Coors Light. But it's expanded, right, where I flex on a lot of stuff. I've helped out on Orkin, done some stuff for Hefty. Got the chance to touch Starburst and Skittles, which was really fun, doing that, some stuff there and some social stuff. Yeah, just wherever they need me. McDonald's, Army briefs come in, and I don't know, DB is really great too. We're like once a month. Is it once a month? Something like that. We have like unexpected briefs, they're called. So where it's just in the all agency brief, anyone can pitch an idea, which is really fun.
Oh, I like that, because your motto is unexpected works, right?
Yeah. Yep. That's the DDB way. Unexpected works.
Yep. And so those briefs are like proactive briefs, or they're all agency briefs where you can get a hand. Are you working on those though? Be real with me. Like, you're probably so busy. You're probably so busy with your current clients, maybe one or two like current main clients. You're telling me that you do a toss up, like if the whole agency is getting an open brief, like you're going to be putting in the extra work for that?
I mean, I think I'm just at the point in my career where I'm hungry for attention and praise from my superiors, where, yeah, I am most of the time submitting on that. I think even like some of the lesser acclaimed clients, like the ask is still really good and big, and you can see the potential in it, or you try to find it. I mean, even then, like McDonald's sometimes isn't the best but they do really good work at Wyden. And here we do great Happy Meal stuff, right? But sometimes the ask isn't really great. Maybe it's more of a B2B ask, but you try to find the interesting angle to it, right? And that's the way to go at it, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or like what we do sometimes that I like to do is like make fun of the brief and find the palatable way in a advertising way to say that.
Hmm. Do you have any examples that you might have worked on recently?
Yeah, I guess like sometimes you get a, like the ask is like, oh, make this commercial into a Gen Z thing, right? And it's not a really interesting commercial. So you like, you can make fun of it, but don't make fun of the client or the brand, but you like do it in a way that is Gen Z forward kind of social content stuff, right? I don't know, I'm not being very vague on purpose, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some legalities, but that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been there for now just under 2 years, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. June of 2021, I think.
Gotcha. And for most of that, have you had like one creative partner, like one art director partner for the mm-hmm. majority of this time?
Yeah. Yeah. Lane Hedler is my art director partner. Been going real strong with that. It's been great.
So explain to the people that might want to break into art direction or copywriting, what does that look like? I think you and I, we've talked about this so much. You know, you learn this at portfolio school, which we'll talk about, but some of our listeners need to be reminded on how this actually works, right? So yeah. Tell us about how'd you meet Lane, correct?
Yeah.
And does that relationship look like? What does it entail?
So it's like a really weird, fun thing. If you go back to like the Mad Men days when, Poppy came up with ideas and art directors like executed that, which is more of almost like graphic designers, but that's like really pre-1950s advertising. And then Birnbach started the creative revolution of advertising, right? A little history lessons with that. And copywriters and art directors were paired together, came up with ideas together and then executed it based on like, is art the lead or is the copy the lead or is it something that is driven together, right? And that's how that works. And so how Lane and I work is we'll come up with, it depends on the time, how much time we have, what our bandwidth is, because sometimes like I'm on a radio thing or whatever, or some headline specific stuff where like he's not working on that as much and I'm more in the woods there, or he is, you know, like doing some illustrations. And so like he's away from me, right? So if that's happening, then like I will start and he can come in and help me, or he'll start and I'll come in and help him. But in an ideal world, we'll come up with ideas together for scripts, for brand X, for full campaigns. And then we'll, how we work at DDB is I will write them up as like one slide, right? Like the name, a headline, and like what happens with the idea, right? And the inside, et cetera. And then like, that's what we present to our bosses, right? And we'll do, honestly, every time we do something, it's like we come up with 50 to 100 of them. And then we'll show our bosses like the best 10 to 20. When we started, it was very much more like, I'm going to show you everything because I'm a junior and I don't know what like a good idea is. But like we've learned a little more and we know like what some of our bosses like, what some don't. And we know like what's right for the client, what's not right. But like, it depends. Like we have a new tequila client. And so like with that one, it was really just like, hey, here's everything. Right. And like,
you didn't know, like you didn't know what... Mm-hmm. What they're looking
and
for, you didn't
and
know
with that. Like everyone is learning,
yeah.
Like, right, the CDs and ECDs, and like the ask changes, right? The brief gets rebriefed, and you know you move or whatever, right? Like this happens all the time.
Right. So, but I think that's really interesting, and like this is really powerful for people they need to learn this. If you go to a portfolio school, you will most likely learn this like exercise of coming up with a bunch of ideas, narrowing them down, and you don't really get to narrow them down. Your bosses do, correct?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that would be really fun to do. And then like, that would be fun to do, but that doesn't make sense for like what the client wants to say.
Right.
And yeah. And then like, I will write the deck, and my art director partner, Lane, will then like make a comp to explain visually what we're doing or to like pair with it. Right.
And every idea is one slide, right? Just like on the left side, you know, you have just your write up, the idea, the background, mm-hmm. maybe. And then there's a comp, right? Like just what it looks like on the right side of that slide.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, sometimes a good dumb name sells it. Sometimes you don't have that right away. And something one of my first CDs told me was that, like, you know, if you can't explain it in a sentence, right, it doesn't need to be a PR headline, but like you, it helps sometimes the PR headline to like make it seem big. But if you can't explain it to a sentence, if you can't explain it to your grandma, it's like not an idea. Right.
Do you, I mean, like, do you have an old idea or an old slide that you can just like present an idea to? Maybe that didn't, like, is that possible right now? Like to learn how quick you go when you're presenting a slide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me,
and you can pull it up and take your time. I can edit out like any gaps here, but I think the just understanding, you know, we tend to over explain ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fast.
Yeah, it's, let me find this. I'll do like a super old thing that like.
I think this would be really great for them.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
First time ever we've ever done this on the show.
I'll give them a McDonald's one, I think.
Sure.
Wait, no, hold on. I'm trying to think about something also that's like easy for everyone to know the brand then. Yeah, right. I'm thinking Coors Light.
Okay.
Because Miller Lite is changing. Where's like this dub? 2020. Yeah, okay, let's do this. Coors Light Holiday. Is this? Oh, see, all these got blown out, but let's see if I can find one that's like, okay, this is a dumb idea, but like,
mm-hmm.
It makes sense. Yeah, let's do this. So, what is this one? What is this? The first guess? You can, what you want? No. Christmas special run. Oh, I like this idea. They didn't like this idea, but like, whatever. No. Where's this? There's like, trying to make a chill one. Holiday film. Okay, we're going to do, I'm going to pick. Okay. So here, this one is like bad. So it's, this holiday season, Coors Light made a can that lights up your holiday season, right? And so it's like, let's make a drinkable light up beer can. It's a festive experience for everyone. We'll launch with an OOV spot that will squeeze in every trope imaginable of the holiday season, from Christmas to Hanukkah, to Pancha Ganapati to Saturnalia, right? So it'd be religion agnostic, so accompanying. And it would essentially be this light up beer can that you can, when you crack the beer can, it lights up with lights around it. And that was it, right? And it's Coors Light. They make you chill. The thought was that lights are everyone's favorite part of the festive season. So it's this calming thing, right? Therefore, chill, blah, 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 blah.
But
it didn't make it past the first round. But like, just that simple explanation, like I said, right? I think the first half of what I said, I wrote, and then everything else I explained.
Yeah, like 30 seconds to a minute, really. And I'm sure you might have gone a little bit slower, like in a meeting, or maybe even faster. It's not much, but you have to come up with a lot of those to get to those really good ones that do eventually sell. And that was like the lesson there.
Exactly. And I think like there was a, not to talk about other podcasts on a podcast, but like Aaron Starkin was on Talking to Ourselves recently, and he talked through the way that Rethink goes about ideas. And it's like, figure what the FAST acronym stand for, but that was really good. And they do the 100 thing too, where like theirs is even simpler. And that's like us developing ideas to show to people. I write it in that way. They're like one line, what is the idea? Explain it. And like 100 of them at least.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So even more streamlined, you're saying the idea in one sentence.
And it's like, yeah, first round is like art directors and copywriters, no comps. Art directors are writing ideas too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's because it's just like, it's not that ideas are everything in advertising. Execution matters so much. Right. We have like so many times where like I have come up with an idea and like I'm fairly new to this still. So like it's like I can't do it. And so my CD helps me a lot. Right. And that's like why they get paid the big bucks. The
right.
The idea.
Gotcha. And yeah, I mean, they're picking out what the good ideas are and then, you know, reshaping them. But that I think that's really interesting, that Rethink method. I'm going to have to probably hit that guy up as well.
Yeah, and Aaron's pretty chill. Global CCO for Rethink.
Yeah. Didn't they just do that Heinz, like the Heinz ketchup bottle?
That photography stuff that just came out.
Yeah, they're like filling up the Heinz with.
Yeah, even when it's not Heinz, it's Heinz, I think was the line.
Yeah, that's a good line. Okay, back to you though. So I guess DDB, give us a rundown of Chicago. How many people? What's it like working there? How many creatives? How many account directors? And I know this will probably be incorrect, and you know we're estimating here. So PR people, it's all good if you're listening from DDB.
I know. I'm thinking with my DDB friends over my shoulder right now, how many people work here? I think it's like a little around 200. I know we were shortlisted for Ad Ages or Ad Weeks. I forget which one. Mid-size agency in the year, and that was like under 200.
And obviously, DDB is a large network where different offices. Mm-hmm. Like, where are the other big ones outside of Chicago? New York?
New York and San Francisco are the main DDB offices. And then DDB, and then Alma is DDB's Latino agency in Miami. We work with them on a lot of things, a lot of the beer stuff. They do stuff because I know Molson wants a lot of the Latino perspective in that stuff, since that's a very large market for
them. I need to learn Spanish and get to one of these Miami agencies. Dude, eventually
that's where it's at. I mean, that's where that's where my beer CDs are, and some of my candy CDs are down in Miami.
I feel like Miami is, it's a hub for sure. I need
100 Gut is down there.
Everybody's down there. David is
still there. Yeah, David.
Yeah. I don't know, is David in your network?
No, that's Ogilvy, because it's David.
Oh, David. Yeah, David. Yeah.
That's okay. WPP.
Yeah. I haven't heard from them in a while.
Yeah. DDB is part of Omnicom, which is like TVWA, the other large ones, BBDO.
Oh, wow. I forgot about Omnicom. And what do you ever interact with?
No, I mean, because like,
so TVWA or?
In a large agency, when you go through a whole idea, eventually it gets to the point where it's called an IET. Forget what it stands for. It's like interagency something with T, right? Transition or whatever like that. But it basically when like all the marketing advertising teams get together to like finally execute an idea, and they then like, it's when the PR gets together, the media gets together, and they're like, okay, cool. This is the idea. We're going to do this, 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 and this, and like whatever, and like that stuff. It's not as big of a creative ask. I've been on like two or three of those calls in like the 2 years I've been here, but like it's a big account more person thing, right?
And are you saying like, will they get all of like the holding company, will they all come together to like pitch one huge client ever, or is it more just like aligning?
I know, yeah, like OMD is our media buying agency, and they like sometimes we picture that. It depends on like the client and if it's like the right fit.
Right.
My understanding. I'm not in that new business. I've worked on new business, but I'm not in like that part of the new business decision. That's like way above my pay grade.
But no, that's, I mean, some really strong creative agencies within there. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's like, so we have Army is one of our accounts here, and Team DDB is Army. It's a bespoke agency within side DDB, where, you know, other DDB companies like the marketing arm and, I wish I knew more.
Oh, what's the marketing arm? I just think somebody reached out to me.
So they are another Omnicom agency that does a different part of the funnel, but I know they also have like State Farm.
Okay.
What was there, right? And stuff like that. So they're just another Chicago holding agency. I think they're in the same building I'm in on Illinois Street here. And it's just like you work with them to do different parts of like the entire, I've never taken a marketing class. The entire funnel of marketing, right? Like from like decision making to consideration, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is handled through Team DDB and the other Omnicom agencies for the Army, so that we can do all of their stuff for that 10-year contract I think they have. Yeah.
Gotcha. And you don't ever touch that stuff?
No, I've like done one proactive brief for them, but no, it's also like, because it's a government contract, they have different resourcing and billings. And so like it's different on your time.
I'm curious what it's like working for them. And I've heard some stories of people, and I heard it's really interesting, really fun, and very, you know, very strict in a good way. Like, I think some of the times the best creative work is created under parameters, right? I feel like the briefs that you get, you prefer, are tighter.
No, they did. I think this, I don't know how time works anymore, but like, I think it was this year or last year, they did these spots called Know Your Army. And like, I think they're probably the funniest spots the Army has ever done. And they're like really great. Like, right. It's like this man, my favorite one probably is like, it's a man fishing in a river. And like the first guy's like really calm up front. And there's a dude in the back, like on his phone doing work, struggling and fishing. And the other dude's like, what industry are you in? You're so calm, right? This is like what he says, but I'm like over explaining it. But it's like, you're so calm. And he's like, tech? And he's like, no, I'm retired, Army. And it's like, yeah, Army, you get all your benefits when you retire after 20 years and you're like, whatever. And it's just like really focused on like the benefits of like being and staying in the Army, right? And there's other spots about like, we bought a house, get a lot of vacation time, right? You get to meet people from all over the world.
It's really
good spots.
You find the benefit of your product or service and you create work off that.
Yeah. And like, this is an Army, like that's not, it is, but it's not directly an Army recruitment spot. Like I sent it to my buddy who's like in the reserves and he's like, this is a really great spot to remind people, like stay in the Army if you're in the Army. Like the benefits here are great.
That's like probably a realistic thing that they envision, right? Like why they're doing this is probably to retire and with all the benefits and or to get free schooling, just going back to those fundamental truths. Like I thought about even joining the Army when I was in high school. Because I didn't want to pay for college. And I thought it would be cool. Yeah. I didn't end up doing that, but it's not too late. And, you know, getting reminded of those benefits, like you guys are doing that, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's like how you should do it.
Yeah.
So cool. All right, let's kick it back now, Ken. So we know a little bit about DDB. So we know that there's really great clients. You guys win a lot of hardware. Hardware meaning awards in this, all the creative awards, cans. Leah's, what else are the big ones? Cleo's,
DNAD's,
One Shows.
And those are like, I think you just, those are like the big
five. There's Big Five and then there's the publication awards, which my industry cares a lot about, like being in PR. I want people to win like the Ad Age Creativity Awards. I want them to win the Drum Agency Business Awards because then I get a better relationship with the journalists. Sure. So just a little insight. And I know you guys care about the creative awards, but all the awards will help you.
We care about the
editorial
print editor. Yeah, I think DDB had some stuff in that I saw today in the creativity awards on Ad Age, right? I know the Bears Twix spot.
Oh, yeah, the Twix spot. Yeah.
Got on there.
I think this was for like best TV, right?
Yeah, I love that spot. When it comes on, it just like, it stops me. It's so good. I'm so jealous.
I love that one.
Patrick.
And you guys get to work on candy. That's like so cool.
Candies are great. Yeah, I know. And I love like, the team for the candy people, they're all great. Count, strategy, and production and creative. They're all amazing people.
Do you guys have an internship going on or like a recruiting for that?
Yeah, there's an internship going on right now. I think
Probably be up in a couple of weeks, so it might be too late as well.
It might be past right now. I know. Yeah, stuff's going on, but hopefully people applied and are going to come here because we want great creative and great thinkers from different parts. And that's like what we talk about, right? Unexpected briefs is like our motto. But also like, so we need unexpected thinkers, right? And that's like people from different parts of the world, people from different backgrounds.
Yeah. Right? And that's something that you're very passionate about. So let's look back at your career and how you broke in, whether or not it was unexpected, how you did it. And then what advice, like looking backwards, what would you change? And how would you do it if you want to do it faster? So
In a perfect world, I would have graduated college on time and would have gotten into advertising much sooner. But I'm here and I'm grateful for where I'm at. And
you got here.
I got here. That's all that matters. Yeah. No, but I graduated college a little later. I had to get my life in order and deal with some stuff, some personal stuff. But I then... I got to a point where I was working at a restaurant and one of my server friends was in ads. He was in ad school. He was studying copywriting at Columbia, Chicago. And I was studying film. And so we were talking about like film stuff and loving that. And then we're talking and I had watched Mad Men. It's one of my favorite shows, but like he had reminded me kind of that like advertising was a profession. He was talking about like the briefs he was working on in school and stuff like that. And I like gave him a line. And then like, I guess that teacher, he came back and next week and told me that teacher like loved that line. And then I was like, oh, okay. Kind of got a buzz from that. And I liked that and kind of have had that bug since. Fast forward a couple of years, I met my wife. I helped her get through nursing school as she did that. And then once she had a job and we were financially set and had saved up some money, I then went to portfolio school. I went to Chicago portfolio school, did that for a year and eventually ended up at DDB, right? I kind of worked my face off for a year. Thankfully, my wife had a job and we had saved up enough money that I could go to school full time. right now everyone has that benefit and capability, I understand, but like I was fortunate enough to have that. And so I used that to my advantage and bothered people endlessly who were my teachers for continuous feedback when I was in school. And I also treated like finding a job and working for a job like a job and worked that amount of hours. And when I emailed, I went back and counted this, and I have a spreadsheet that I still use to this day to update contacts. I'm trying, I, you know, stay connected with people I am interested in talking to in the industry. It was 150 people I emailed in
150
in 6 months. And I think probably about half of them responded. And so with all of
That's good.
And that's the thing about advertising people. Like, I think, you know, we can say what we want about, the pipeline and it not like being as diverse as we all would like. And I agree with that. And I think we should continue to work to, but like everyone I talk like really nice and wanted to help. Right. And, you know, some people helped more than others, but I understand everyone's like life is different. And so I expect nothing from anyone when I reach out to them, but like people were nice enough and helped me. And a lot of people gave me continuously like hour long talks to help me make my book better and change my thinking about advertising. And I learned a lot, right? I learned that like some people, like I don't want to make the work some people were making. So I didn't like want to continue talking to them. That doesn't mean they make bad work. Just I have a different view for what I want to make in the industry, right? Yeah.
And that's why I send somebody, some of our listeners to you.
Sometimes, yeah. And then they talk to me and I help them and sometimes they get jobs. It's really great.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah. You throw a line back. So, but you covered a lot there pretty quickly. So, I guess, you know, let's pick that apart. Lessons as you're looking back into that first break. And so, the portfolio school I drew out, you know, you were able to do that full time. You worked your ass off because it was kind of like you made this decision that you need this. And this is what you're doing, and there's no looking back.
And I don't think everyone needs portfolio school. I just know for my, and it's just how well do you know yourself? I know I needed like a daily routine of working with people, right? And because like that's what this job is. Like you, no one is good enough at this job. No CCO in the world is good enough at this job to do this by themselves. Like you can come up with the ideas by yourself,
sure.
But like account people are really good at selling the idea to clients because they know what clients need. Production people are really good at like working with production people and like making that happen. They're sometimes the real magic makers where like, I have a dumb idea. It's called beer drops. And then production people figure out scientifically how that can happen. Cause I don't understand it. I mean, I kind of understand it now, but whatever.
That was your idea.
Yeah. That was my partner and I's idea where we like, it was like, what if it was a Crystal Light for beer? And then it turns out you can't put powder into carbonation. So we had to like figure it was a meal kind of solution. Right. And then we worked with a beer cicerone, it's called, which is basically a beer sommelier, a person who like is fancy about beers. And then he like made a solution that made other light beers taste better because Miller Lite is the light beer with the most beer taste.
Right. So you made these beer drops and do you have any?
I have two that are on my desk in my house. Yeah.
You use them?
Yeah, I don't know. They're never going to be used.
Yeah.
Because I want them. I want them to stay.
And I know you guys do that quite a bit, and that's those activation. What would you call this activation?
There's a brand. Yeah, the ask from the client that we call is like they want a brand act.
Yeah,
And that's like an amorphous thing, right? In that instance, basically the deliverables, as they were called, the things that you need to give the clients to like put into the world are a product, right? We gave them a product. We made I think 5,000 of them, and then made a website to sell them. Made a social post to launch it, right? And that was a fairly like small budget brand act.
Yeah.
And so like we're not going to make a whole TV spot to announce that to the world just because of the budget.
Sometimes not,
I helped. The first thing I helped out on at DDB was the Miller Lite football launch for 2021, which was like the Miller Timeless collection, where like that was the opposite. It was like, you know, a lot of money spent on a TV spot that was running for football stuff. And it was like a whole joke jewelry ad for this to show the beer friendship.
I mean,
I had very small parts in there. I did not come up with the idea. I like helped execute and write social posts, but like I was glad to help out on it. Right. Yeah.
Right, right. And then you came up with your own, which is beer drops later.
Yeah. And that's just like, you know, that doesn't always happen at big agencies. We just like were at the right place at the right time and worked our butts off on a brief where we saw there was a chance. Right. And then we got that chance because I think you talk about this a lot, Gino, I know how to, I know how your podcast works, right? When you get in, how do you execute and do well in, right? Like it's,
thank you.
When, you know, you're good. When you're here, like you do the small asks really well. Right. You show and do a lot of work. Right. We did social posts before that. I still do social posts, paid media sometimes. Right. For that. But and you do that really well and you come up with a bunch of ideas like that. Right. I said 50 to 100 for brand. You do 50 to 100 as best you can to your ability for social stuff. Right. And then again, you show your boss what you think are the best ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then once you do well and you show yourself to your boss on the smaller projects, they'll give you the shot at the bigger ones. And you did that. And you, when it was time to play, came up with a great idea. So
yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. It's something we talk about on the show quite a bit. So I'm glad you went over that. But back to your break-in, what would you do differently? I guess, what would you, like you said that you don't, you know, you'd like the structure of Portfolio School.
Yeah.
You needed that. But for, you know.
I needed that. If you can't go to Portfolio School, that's also totally fine. It's not a problem, right? Not everyone can afford VCU, which is great, or, you know, even like
Miami,
which is also great, but expensive. And Denver, I think, is, you know, a cheaper option. And Book 180 is an even cheaper option that still yields results, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think like not everyone can afford that. I understand. And so like, if you can't do what I did, email as many people as you want and ask them questions, right? Like, hey, I don't know what a portfolio looks like. I think is like where a lot of people would start and be like, okay, here's what a professional portfolio looks like. And that's like, you know, very daunting. It's like, well, I can't make this Old Spice commercial that like is amazing.
Yeah.
Right. But what you can do is like, okay, well, here's what student work looks like. Right.
Right.
And if you're like, if you're just a copywriter, what you can do is like apply to Crowbar. And if you can figure out a copywriting execution solo for that, like, I think, shout out Natan, who like won a Young Shits brief by himself with a all copywritten idea, and he's
at Habat Chicago now.
Yes, yeah, I remember. I reached out to him. That was cool. Yeah. And he has a great idea there for like, you know, buying soil back or whatever, right? And you know, won a good award show, Young Shits, there for that, and like, you know, maybe someone can do that for Crowbar. We'll see what Greg Hahn says, but right. That's it. It would be great if you could work with an art director, but like not everyone has that capability also. Right. And you need to write lines to show you can do that. So if you are a good enough writer, go read every economist headline ever written, figure out how it was written, the inside behind it and how they got to it, and then recreate that stuff. Right. I remember seeing, can't remember who this was, someone's book that I stalked was like really good. And they had like, here's side by side. I wrote a bunch of economist headlines and here are real economist headlines. Can you tell the difference? Like quiz. And it's like, no, I can't tell the difference.
That's good.
Really great.
Yeah.
Because those are amazing headlines always. Yeah.
Interesting. I think these are definitely very valuable advice. So, and especially with the Crowbar, I mean, if you go in solo and you just let us know, we'll look at that, you know, we'll judge it, you know.
Yeah, because it's just like, what is the best idea and the best execution, right?
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, it's up to Greg, actually, so for this one, but or whoever the next judge is. But I'm sure if you go in solo and you preface it, then they'll take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, when's the deadline for Crowbar?
So that is in like at the end of this month, so in a couple of days. So it's quarterly, and then it'll be every 3 months with a new judge and a new brief.
Amazing.
So that's a goal.
New ones?
We're working on locking a brief with a partner right now. We're looking at Yahoo.
Oh, fun.
So by the time this is posted, it'll probably be out. And maybe AI focused or like increasing the brand of Yahoo is what we're playing around with. And we're partnering with Jim Basilevac potentially, who's the lead creative there, and maybe offering like an internship.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that episode. It was a good episode.
Maybe offering an internship or maybe offering like a visit down to their office, something
that's
fun.
Awesome.
So that's the goal. Yeah. We're not sure what it's going to look like yet.
No, for sure. But that's really good. Yeah. Cause I think like offering people the chance for a job is like, I think it's all you can ask for. It's up to Yeah.
Indirectly, like Greg's going to look at your book. I mean, listen, if you, if you're breaking in, I mean, you still can fly, Ken. You're 3 years under, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I could.
You'd crush it.
I've got a lot of time, I think, really. But yeah.
Yeah. But no, thanks for bringing that up. And I think all your advice is really, really great. Anything else looking back in your career, or, you know, all the pod, you listen to every podcast. You have the best list of resources. You collect, you compile everything. You are just a walking library of resources. So we're going to have to figure out a way to get all these resources out. I used to do our master resource list at Falling Behind, but what else are you thinking?
I think, like, I don't know. Yeah. If you look at that resource list that I put in there, that's it's a good start, right? Learn what ads are. Cause I think what an important part of, like, being a good ad creative is, like, having good taste, having a high bar for, like, what is, and we talk about this a lot at DDB, for, like, reaching for creative excellence. So knowing what, like, a really good idea is, understanding how to build tension within something. Right. And, like, you know, like, I didn't get that right away when I got here, and I've learned, and I'm still, like, learning and developing that. So it's just, you know, teaching that learner's mindset. I think Dan Wyden said it really great. It's fail harder, and it's, you know, one of the four freedoms of DDB is a freedom to fail. So,
nice. Your comms professional is going to be smiling after hearing this.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Ken, can people reach out to you? And if so, how?
Of course. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Feel free to connect with me there. You can email me, bates.p.ken@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Twitter, wherever that, those are all my social channels. I don't have an Instagram. I have a TikTok, but I doubt you can find it. So I'm not on it that often. TikTok's great, but it's a time suck. And so I try to avoid it for my health.
sure. And listen, to the listeners out there, chances are, if you ask me to review your portfolio, I am not an expert, like, directly. I will maybe pass it on to Ken sometimes, and then I'll pass it on to also our creative recruiter at Hava Chicago.
Oh, but really? She's, like, one of my former school partners too. Junior.
But yeah, like, I tend to pass people your, like, to you, because you're such a great mentor. I know you like to give back, and you had a really good creative eye. So please, like, if you're listening, this is somebody you really want to reach out to. Ken will help you out.
I had very little to do with, like, getting them hired. I put the name forward, right? Yeah. They were a great candidate, and they did all the work of getting the job.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. I didn't mean to say, like, you.
No, you're good. I had no hiring abilities.
But you talked with this person. Let's see what this person said. I'll pull it up real quick. I will save their identity. So long story short, I've been talking with Ken. He's a great guy. I put his name down as a reference when applying for a junior copywriter gig at DDB. He helped me through the interview process and put in a few good words. I recently got an offer. And without your podcast and help connecting with Ken, I don't think any of this would have happened. So thank you so much. And this was sent this past Monday. So that was yesterday.
Yeah, that's so great.
So tag team duo there. I think that's how it goes. So Ken, thank you.
That's what it's all about, is, like, yeah, right. Someone who was good, and they, you know, and when you reach out to people, this is nothing too, just like a small thing. When you reach out to people, like, do the work that they ask for, and then show them, like, hey, I did the work. How is it? Right.
Yes.
Right. And then continue to follow up. Not everyone does that. And, like, I'll admit, like, I didn't always do that when people did it, just because I got to a point where I was like, I feel like my book, I'm so tired of, like, editing my book. Until you have a job, you can't be tired.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're going to give you advice and you're going to ask for it, you better damn well apply it, and then show them that you applied it, because they get really excited when you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they appreciate that. And then you're wasting their time if they don't. So, and also try to show up a little bit later when your book's a little bit more crafted, when you have a couple more campaigns and, you know, some deliverables. I think that really helps too. You don't want to just kind of have some shit in there.
Yeah, it's always good to, I mean,
put some work into it first.
But yeah, if you come with, like, no book, I can, like, it's just a longer road you have, which it's possible, right? I know people who've done that, but yeah.
Yeah.
I have creative directors who, like, didn't go to ad school, who are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think, though, like, you know, do your homework first and do the groundwork as much as you can. All right, Ken, thank you so much. People know how to reach out to you. I've got some editing to do, so I'll get to it. But thank you again.
Thanks, man.